The makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, the blend that's winning so many new friends with its marvelous flavor and reasonable price, present the Chase and Sanborn Hour and your genial host, Don Ameche. This is the Chase and Sanborn Hour, and this is Don Ameche welcoming you for Nelson Eddy and W.C. Fields.
Oh, Mr. Ameche, are Fields and Eddy merging to mow me down here?
I don't know, but you better watch your step, Charlie. A hearty welcome, too, from Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Stick around, Bergen, I may need you.
Oh, and yeah. Dorothy L'Amour.
Ah, Dorothy, a loaf of bread, a jug of wine, and wow, wow, all right.
And as our special guest, Miss Alice Brady, whose great performance as the gay and giddy mother in My Man Godfrey put her in the top rank of screen comedians.
Oh, I love funny actresses.
Yes, Charlie, but tonight Miss Brady is going to demonstrate for us her equally great dramatic ability.
I love dramatic actresses.
I guess you just love actresses, Charlie.
Yeah, I guess
we hope you'll enjoy our program, and that we can count all of you as our friends, and of course, friends of Chase and Sanborn Coffee.
Yes.
Now, a friendly greeting from Nelson Eddy, who adds his welcome with a beautiful song from his latest MGM picture, Maytime. Nelson Eddy singing, Will You Remember?
Our love is so sweet in the springtime, when blossoms are fragrant in May. No years that are coming can bring time to make me forget dear, this day. I love you in life's gray December, the same as I love you today. My heart ever young will remember the thrill it knew that day in May. Sweetheart, 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 will you love me ever? Will you remember the day when we were happy?
Thrill of that song for a long time to come, Nelson. Gee, that was grand.
Thank you, Don. Now, while we're in a remembering mood, I seem to recall something or other about a joyride that one Charles McCarthy had at the expense of Edgar Bergen's car last week. I hope it's all straightened out.
Beep, 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 beep.
Well, here comes the McCarthy wrecking crew in person, and the best way to find out whether America's favorite bad boy is in serious trouble again is to question his pilot and guide. How about it, Edgar? Have you forgiven Charlie for his escapade?
Please, Don, I'd rather not talk about it. I've never been quite so disappointed with any individual in my life as I am with Charlie. Not only did Charlie steal my car and wreck it, Don, but he started a fight with a man he ran into.
Is that true, Charlie?
Yes, Your Honor. I mean, yes, Mr. Amici.
What did you do, Charlie? Huh? And what did you intend to do about that accident? What are you going to do about it?
Oh, the accident?
Yes, yes.
Yes, I know. Seems that I've done enough, don't you think?
Yes, I do. But you know, you'll have to appear in court.
I don't think so, Mr. Bergen.
You don't think so?
No.
I see.
You see, they took your license number, and it was your car, and so I gave them your name, too.
Oh, I see.
Why should both of us get mixed up in it?
I see. Yes. Well, that's nice. You have the nerve to do that.
Yes.
Charlie, have you no conscience?
Well, yes, I have, Mr. Bergen.
Yes.
Yes, it bothered me so much yesterday, the whole thing. The horrible incident. I decided to go to the police station and confess.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yes.
And did you do it? No, I see.
I got on the wrong streetcar.
I see.
It was so foggy. I couldn't tell one car from another.
I see.
Later on, I found out it wasn't a streetcar at all. It was a lunch wagon I was riding.
And when did you realize that you'd made a mistake?
When I got the check.
I see.
Oh, it's humiliating, to say the least.
Well, there's a Mr. Gazzolo coming to see me.
Yes.
Probably he's the owner of the lunch wagon.
No, no, he isn't, no. He's the man I ran into.
Oh, I see.
Yes, he's the owner of the car that is... It was his car. That's the other one.
I see.
It's all too gruesome.
Yes, sir. Charlie, now, will you tell me truthfully?
Well, I'll try, yes.
Yes. How badly damaged was his car?
Well, Bergen, why split hairs?
I see.
Junk is junk.
I see. Here comes Mr. Gazzolo.
That's the kid. He broke my machine. What's he got to say for yourself, eh?
I have nothing to say for yourself. Talk to Mr. Bergen. He's my lawyer.
Is he your lawyer?
Yeah, Bergen's my mouthpiece.
Well, shut up, your mouthpiece.
Quiet, Bergen.
All right, all right. Listen, I got to get the paid. That's all I want to know.
Yeah. Mr. Gazzolo, believe me, I shall see that you are reimbursed.
That's no good. I got to have the money.
Well, what kind of a car were you driving?
Well, if you put the pieces together, she was a five-passenger sardine.
That's what it looked like when I got through.
Yeah.
A sardine can.
Yeah.
It was a fish cart.
All right.
Shut up your face, you. You talk a lot, you say nothing.
Would you mind telling me just exactly what happened, Mr. Gazzolo?
Well, I was a driver along. Yeah. My mind on my business. Is nobody around me for blocks? All of a sudden, a Sacramento, California.
Leave the geography out of it, will you?
It's a crash of the glass. It's a blow of the whistle. It's a push of the ambulance to bail. It's a great big crowd.
It was a sellout, Bergen.
Yeah, go on, Mr. Gazzolo.
Is it somebody yelling? Man is a kill.
Oh,
I turn around, I take a look. It's me. No. And the kid is crazy. He can't drive an automobile.
What do you mean I can't drive? I hit you, didn't I?
Listen, are you going to pay me or are you going to go to jail?
Well, how much?
You're going to pay me $10 or are you going to get the 10 years in the jail?
Oh, dollar a year, man, huh? Say, Bergen, can I talk to you for a minute?
No, no, Charlie.
Oh, no.
There's no use trying to talk me into this, Charlie.
Oh, yes.
You've committed a crime and now you must pay the piper.
Oh, is Gazzolo a plumber?
No, no. There's no use, son. You'll have to suffer the consequences, that's all.
Uh-huh. Very well. So be it, so be it. If I must go to jail, I'll go. But before I go, I would like to make one last request.
Yes.
Oh, Professor Armbruster, would you play my favorite song?
Any little flashed favor to make you happy, Charlie?
Thank you, Bob. Thank you. That's it, see? End of a perfect day.
Yes, yes.
At my tender age, to think I must face jail, Alcatraz, iron bars and the big houses.
Well, Charlie, maybe I can help you out.
No. I have played the piper. Now I must commit to crime.
Yes.
What difference does it make where I go? Nobody really cares. After all, 10 years in jail isn't so long. I may meet some nice friends there. What's 10 years among friends?
Say, look, maybe I have been too strict.
Oh, no. You're entirely in the right, Mr. Gazzolo.
But, Charlie, really, I...
You know, don't face Mr. Bergen, no. I'll work hard. Maybe I'll get a year off for good behavior. Then you'll be proud of me.
Yes, yes.
I may even learn a trade.
A trade?
I may learn to be a pickpocket, or I mean a ventriloquist.
Listen, Charlie, my boy, you're making me feel kind of bad. Maybe I was too hard.
Huh? Oh, no, Mr. Gazzolo, no. Even though you send me to jail, I still love you.
You love me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Charlie, you love me?
When the word prison is mentioned, you may not be able to sleep, because you'll know it was you, and you alone, who sent me to prison.
Oh, you're making me cry. You're breaking my heart.
But though I rot in solitary cell, and mice run over my fragile body, I shall love you just the same.
Oh, please, stop it, kid. I cannot send a cute little boy like him into jail. I'll forgive him.
You forgive me? Oh, you're wonderful, Mr. Gazzolo. I'll work for you for life, for nothing.
You're working for me? Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. But look, what can you do for me?
I can drive your new car.
Well, it certainly doesn't pay to sympathize with Charlie McCarthy too much. But I give him one of the biggest scares. Maybe he'll learn his lesson so he won't go to jail the next time. But from incorrigible Charlie, we move along to lovely Dorothy L'Amour. And from Bing Crosby's new Paramount picture, Double or Nothing, Dorothy sings, "It's the Natural Thing to Do."
Hasn't anyone ever told you what life is all about? It's strange that you should be so self-contained. You're afraid to display emotion, and so I have no doubt that certain facts will have to be explained. When a bird, young and free, hangs around a certain tree, singing serenades that tell his love is true, that's because it's the natural thing to do. When a sad moonstruck cow would be glad to make a bow, when she lifts her head and sighs a lonely moo, that's because it's the natural thing to do. And you know every dove has a heart set on love, squirrels too, and they should. And you know a woodchuck should, when a girl such as I tries so hard to qualify with a very handsome gentleman like you. Can't you see it's the natural thing to do? When a girl acts demure, and the boy feels proud and sure, and impulsively suggests a rendezvous, that's because it's the natural thing. Oh, yes. It's the natural thing to do. But the girl won't agree, though he begs on bended knee. Then she runs away and knows that he'll pursue. That's because it's the natural thing. Oh, yes, it's the natural thing to do. Then the boy, in despair, waves his arms, tears his hair, stamps his feet, acts like mad. That's because he's got it bad. Then the girl ought to fall, if she's got a heart at all. She should take him in her arms and kiss him too. And you know that's the natural thing. Oh, yes, it's the natural thing. You know it's the natural thing to do.
The song appeals to everyone. But the statement you're about to hear should appeal to everyone who buys coffee. And as you listen, you'll be interested to notice that this statement is not a general one, but applies specifically to Chase and Sanborn Coffee. The way to get more pleasure from your coffee is to enjoy it fresh from roasting. For coffee is perishable, like milk or butter or eggs. When it's fresh, it's delicious. But when it's stale, it develops a bitter, rancid taste. So any coffee is better fresh. And when you get a really fine blend, freshly roasted, then you'll enjoy coffee at its best. Rich and fragrant and full of mellow flavor. And that's what you get in Chase and Sanborn Dated Coffee. For this superb blend is delivered fresh from roasting to stores everywhere. Rushed there by a fresh food delivery system that no one has ever duplicated. The great fleet of fast motor cars that delivers Fleischmann's yeast fresh to grocers every day. These cars rush Chase and Sanborn Dated Coffee straight from the fragrant roasting ovens to grocers everywhere. Each pound bears the date of delivery. Your guarantee that it's freshly roasted. And because of this guarantee, expensive containers are needless. So we use an economical dated bag instead. And the saving enables us to give you, at economy prices, a richer blend of coffee. Fresh and full of flavor, ready to release this marvelous goodness to you. Enjoy it often, hot or iced. Buy a pound of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee from your grocer tomorrow.
It is my good fortune these days to be working with Miss Alice Brady in the picture Old Chicago, where Miss Brady is playing her first dramatic part in a long time. She's been giving us such amusing characterizations in her recent pictures, we're apt to forget that Alice Brady is the great dramatic actress who created the role of Lavinia Manon in Eugene O'Neill's famous tragedy, Morning Becomes Electra. For us, Miss Brady steps back into the character of Lavinia, and I am very happy to play her brother, Orrin. And Nelson Eddy joins us as Peter in scenes from this great tragic story, which is recognized as one of the greatest modern plays, Morning Becomes Electra.
Morning Becomes Electra, with Alice Brady as Lavinia Manon, Don Ameche as Orrin, and Nelson Eddy as Peter. It is 1866. Lavinia Manon and her brother, Orrin, have returned from a world cruise to the small New England village, which still rings with the tragedies that have pursued the Manon family. Lavinia leads her brother into the old house, hoping that he has forgotten their unhappy past. But Orrin, his mind and nerves shattered by his father's death and his mother's suicide, stands trembling in the dust-sheeted living room, staring at the portraits of the dead.
Come along, Orrin. What are you afraid of? This is a test, and you've got to face it.
I'll be all right, Vinny.
Well, look around the house. Are you afraid? Orrin, I want you to look right now. Do you hear me?
Yes, Vinny.
You don't see any ghosts, do you? Tell me.
No.
Because there are none. Tell me you know there are none, Orrin.
It was here, the last time I saw Mother alive.
That's all past and finished. The dead have forgotten us, and we've forgotten them.
I've been in the study. I was sure Mother would be waiting for me in there. Where is she? But she wasn't. She isn't anywhere. She's gone forever. She'll never forgive me now.
Orrin, will you be quiet?
I didn't mean... Oh, don't be angry, Vinny.
I'm not angry, dear. Only do get hold of yourself and be brave. Won't you be glad to see Hazel again?
You've been talking about Hazel and Peter all the voyage home. Why? What can they have to do with us now?
A lot. Their friendship and love will help us more than anything to forget.
Love? What right have I, or you, to love?
Every right.
Mother felt the same about Adam Brandt. But you wouldn't let her marry him because you loved him, too.
Orrin, you haven't had one of these morbid spells for a long time. Listen, Orrin. Who murdered Father?
Adam Brandt did. For revenge. Because...
Who murdered Father? Answer me.
Well, Mother was under Adam's influence.
That's a lie. It was Adam who was under Mother's influence. You know the truth?
Yes.
Mother murdered Father, didn't she?
Yes.
And she chose to kill herself as a punishment for her crime. Of her own free will. It was an act of justice.
Yes.
You didn't drive her to suicide? That was only your morbid imagination. Oh, You get me so worried with your incessant brooding over the past. It's the worst thing for your health.
Thank you for your anxiety about my health. But I'm afraid there isn't much hope for you there. I happen to feel quite well.
How can you insinuate that? But you're only trying to rile me, and I'm not going to let you.
Were you hoping you could escape retribution? Well, you can't. You're scheming to leave me and marry Peter. I won't be left alone with the past. I won't, I tell you. I'll go mad in this house. But you'll soon stop your tricks when you know what I've been writing.
Aaron, what have you
written? That frightens you, does it? Well, you better be frightened.
Tell me what you've written.
It's none of your business.
I've got to know.
Well, as the last male man on, I've written a true history of all the family crimes. All the crimes, including ours, do you understand?
You mean to tell me you've actually written...
Most of what I've written is about you. I found you the most interesting criminal of us all. You loved Adam Brandt. You made me shoot him because Mother loved him, too.
Stop it! I won. I won't bear it much longer.
And why don't you murder me? I'll help you plan it as we planned Adam's murder. And oh, I'll be grateful. I loathe my life.
Will you be quiet? Take care, Owen. I've warned you. I warn you again. I can't bear any more. I won't. You'll be responsible if...
If what? If I should die mysteriously of heart failure? But you better look out. I've told Hazel about this confession I've written. Just in case you try to marry Peter. Or if I should die.
Stop having such thoughts. Stop making me happy. You're like a devil torturing me. I won't listen.
Don't cry. The damned don't cry.
Owen, why do you look at me like that?
Vinny, let's go down and confess Mother's murder and find peace together.
Peace? No. You coward. There's nothing to confess. There was only justice.
The Manon ghosts are listening to you, Vinny. They'll find Lavinia Manon harder to break than me. They'll have to haunt and hound you for a lifetime.
I hate you. I wish you were dead. You're too vile to live. You'd kill yourself if you weren't such a coward.
Vinny.
I mean it. I mean it.
Oh, Vinny. Another act of justice, huh? You want to drive me to suicide as I drove Mother? An eye for an eye, is that it? But... Yes. Yes, that would be justice.
Oren. Oren!
Mother will be waiting for me there. Oh, Mother. Mother, I'll get on my knees and ask your forgiveness. I'll wish you happiness. Mother... You and Adam. Mother, you're in the house now. You're waiting to take me home.
No, Aaron, no, no.
Get out of my way, can't you? Mother's waiting for me. Shh. Is Peter coming? Shut up now.
Hello, Vinny. Hello, Aaron. Excuse my coming right in, but the door was open.
Oh, that's all right, Peter. I'm glad you came. I'm just going in the study to clean my pistol. Time things gotten so rusty. You can keep Vinny company.
Aaron! Aaron, come back!
Say, Aaron's a darn fool to monkey with a pistol in his state. Shall I go in and take it away from him?
Peter! Peter, hold me close. Nothing matters but love, does it? Oh, Peter, won't it be wonderful? Once we're married and have a home with garden and trees, we'll be so happy. I love everything that grows simply up toward the sun. Everything that's straight and strong. I hate what's warped and twists and eats into itself and dies for a lifetime in shadow. I can't bear waiting and waiting and waiting and...
What's that?
Arne. Forgive me, Arne.
Benny. Crying won't help now.
No. The damned don't cry. Oh, Peter, will you always love me and keep me from remembering?
You bet I will. And the first thing is to get away from here. I hate this town now and everyone in it.
Let me look at you, Peter. You're suffering. Have I done this to you already, Peter? You've quarreled with your mother and Hazel on account of this.
Well, Hazel said Aaron was writing a confession.
Are you wondering what it was that Aaron wrote?
No, of course not. Don't I know your brother was out of his mind?
Peter, I want to get married right away. I'm afraid to wait.
Afraid? Why should you be afraid? Was there anything in what Aaron wrote that would stop us?
The dead coming between. They always would, Peter. I know them too well. You'd soon grow to hate me. And I couldn't bear to watch your eyes grow bitter and hidden from me. And wounded in that trust of life. I love you too much.
Finney, what are you talking about? You make me think there was something.
No, nothing. Don't think of that. Not yet. I want a little happiness in spite of all the dead.
Vinny, what's come over you?
Kiss me, Peter. Hold me close. Love me. Love me so much you'd murder anyone to keep me. I did that for you.
Vinny.
Kiss me, Peter. Our love will drive them dead away. It will shame them back into death. Kiss me. Kiss me, Adam. Why did I call you Adam? I never even heard that name before outside the Bible. Always the dead between. It's no use trying anymore.
You're talking crazy. Of course you've heard that name before. Adam Brandt.
I can't marry you, Peter. Love isn't permitted me. The dead are too strong.
Vinny, I've got a right to know. Was there anything between you and Adam Brandt?
All right. If you must know, I loved him. And so did Mother. And I wouldn't let her marry Adam, and I made Oren shoot him.
Then Mother and Hazel were right. You are bad at heart. No wonder Oren killed himself.
Peter! Goodbye. Peter. I'm bound here now. Bound to the man in death.
Vinny!
Don't be afraid, Peter. I'm not going the way that Mother and Oren went. That's escaping punishment. I live here alone with the dead. And let them hound me into the last man and has left die. I know they'll see to it that I live for a long, long time. It takes the man and punish themselves for being born.
Thank you, Alice Brady, for a truly great performance. And now you may throw off the tragic cloak of Lavinia Manon and be yourself again, for later on you'll be meeting our young friend Charlie McCarthy. You'll be needing all your gaiety to keep up with him. So Jason Sanborn now with W.C. Fields, Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour and Alice Brady will continue in just a moment.
The house is haunted.
Oh. Charlie, what's the matter with you?
Don't scream at me like that. Boy, oh boy, was I scared. What a bedtime story.
Why, what's the matter, Charlie? Didn't you like the play?
That was no play. That was a massacre. Are you all right? Are you alive, Amici?
Why, of course I'm alive. We're all alive.
Boy, aren't we lucky? Is Dorothy L'Amour alive? Oh, that's what counts, you know.
Hello, Charlie. What's the matter?
Hello, Daddy. Did the play scare you?
Yes, it did, Charlie.
Well, don't be frightened. I'm here. I'm scared to death. Hold my hand, Dottie.
Oh, Charlie, you're so nice.
Not too close now.
Why, what's the matter?
Well, after that play, I don't trust anybody. Even myself.
Well, you don't have to worry about me.
No, maybe not. But I'm warning you, if you mention that guy named Adam, I'm off like a flash.
You mean Adam Brandt?
I'm off.
Hey, come back here, Charlie. Uh-huh. Oh, Charlie.
What? Boo. Don't ever do that to me.
I thought you were protecting me.
Well, I am. But after the fifth corpse, every man for himself.
Well, Morning Becomes Electra was a bit morbid, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't call it whimsical. Cute is the word, I think.
Well, you only heard a small part of the play, you know.
Yeah, well, I see where it could have gone on, yes. There were still two left to kill.
Warren took the quick way. It must be awful facing the electric chair.
Yes, must be worse sitting in it, though. So why make mouse traps out of mole holes? It all happens so quick in the electric chair, it's just, bzz, and there you are.
But where are you?
Well, you aren't. Maybe I should have said, bzz, and there you aren't.
Do you believe in capital punishment?
Well, yes. If it's not too severe, I think it's all right. But after all, this Orin, he was guilty.
Yes, it was wrong of him to kill his mother.
Well, that was my first impression, yes. He probably didn't even have a license to carry a gun. You see, they didn't clear that up. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sure if you write it, if you wrote it, things would be a lot different.
Yes, yes, I'm sure it would. Of course, if I wrote it, the first scene would show three ghosts out in a windstorm, see? And Mr. Fields could play that part, you see.
Mr. Fields?
Yes, you know, three sheets in the wind, you know.
I don't know who's going to be the last survivor in Charlie's drama, but while we wait and wonder, perhaps I can soothe the troubled waters with a song that you'll be hearing in the new 20th Century Fox picture, Sing and Be Happy. When I first heard this song, I liked it a lot, so I'm hoping you like it too. What a beautiful beginning.
What a beautiful beginning of a lovely romance. What a beautiful beginning. Why not give love a chance? Let's follow through and bring to view the happiness there is in store. Please say you will be mine forevermore. Could there be a sweeter blending of a groom and a bride? Can't you see a happy ending, hand in hand, side by side? Our eyes have met, our lips not yet, but we're off to a glorious start. What a beautiful beginning of a lovely romance.
What a day to gamble on the green, to commune with Mother Nature, to frolic in the fields, by the fields and with the fields. I mean, of course, W.C. Fields.
Wow. Give me that back again. Where are you?
Well...
Now, at first, I thought you were talking about me, Don.
How you feeling, Bill?
Wait a minute. They got me all mixed up here.
Oh, they have, huh?
Yeah.
Well...
I feel like a June bride, Don. Like a June bride.
Well, how is that, Bill?
I wonder. Don, June's a great month. I was married in June. Years later, I was divorced in June.
Yeah, well, that's remarkable, Bill.
I went to the can for back alimony in June.
Yeah, yes, Bill. Yeah, June. But
I was paroled in June. June's a marvelous month with me, Don.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bill. But tell me, how do you like your new place up in the Bel Air Hills? It's very exclusive, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know, Don. The garbage man seems very pleasant. Sociable sort of chap. Puts on no airs whatever. No mock dignity. Very democratic, Don.
Oh, a nice fellow, huh, Bill?
Oh, yes, he is. Very democratic. Never seems to have his nose in the air, if you know what I mean. There's one man who should have his nose in the air. We had quite a lengthy conversation this morning, Don.
Well, that's nice, Bill. What did you say?
I said to him, lovely weather we're having, Mr. Frobisher. That's his name, Don. Ichabod Frobisher.
That's quite a name, Bill.
That's one of the Cucamonga Frobishers.
I see. And what did Mr. Frobisher say, Bill?
Icky didn't have much to say right away. Sort of a reticent fellow, you know, weighs his words carefully.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah. Well, then the second time I spoke to him, he says, what do you mean, lovely weather we're having? Lovely weather I'm having. Sort of played me for a chill.
Sounds like an exclusive place you might
have. Oh, it's
a
very
Bill.
Modest little place, Don. We have only one tennis court, one polo field, one beautiful baseball diamond.
Baseball diamond? Boy, that must be quite a place, Bill.
Oh, modest little place, Don. Only one skating rink. Motorcycle track for the tots, you know. Little ski jump.
What, Bill? A ski jump?
Oh, yeah, we ski, Don.
Did you say whiskey, Mr. Fields?
Greetings, Charles, my diminutive little chum. Yes, I said we ski up in the hill.
Uh-huh. We ski here. Yeah. So do I. Whiskey, so do I.
very funny, Charles. Keep quiet or I'll throw a herbivorous caterpillar on you.
But, Bill, a ski jump, they don't have snow out there in Bel Air, do they?
Don, I'm prepared for all emergencies. Up to now, however, we've had, on an average, of 365 days in the year of sunshine. And that I'm being very conservative.
All right, Bill, but tell me about your house.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Don. I have two swimming pools. One fur line.
A fur line swimming pool, Bill?
Yes, Don, for winter bathing. It gets very chilly out there when the December sun goes over the mountain.
Well, that's quite a novelty, a fur line swimming pool.
Yes,
Bill.
It is. But the spring we shave it. We take out the fur and line the pool with little chintz. Very cold.
I understand it's very hilly country in Bel Air. Is that true, Bill?
Yes, it is, Don. Yes, it is. So hilly up there, we can't engage a man to mow the lawn unless he has one leg shorter than the other.
Well, how high are you there, Bill?
Oh, very high, Don. Very high. As a matter of fact, I had my driveway built by a retired roller coaster designer.
I imagine at an altitude like that, one's nose would begin to resemble a frozen strawberry.
Very good. Very good, Charles. How would you like me to whittle you down to a kite stick?
Bill, don't you find it hard to get the right kind of help up there?
Oh, no, Don. The servant problem is very simple. I've got a butler who is a retired steeplejack. And a Swiss maid used to do a high wire act. But one of the four bounding McSlepper men. They feel right at home up there in the hill.
Oh, I can understand that, Bill.
I lost my cook this morning, Don. Marvelous cook, too. An ex-parachute jumper.
Oh, that's too bad, Bill. How did you lose him?
Well, we sent to the village for 2 quarts of milk or something. I forget what it was. And he stepped off the back porch without his parachute. But the place has its advantages, too, Don.
Advantages, Bill?
Oh, yes. The bill collectors take one look at those long, winding roads, and they decide to turn back to the office and write a letter instead. But there I have them again. The postman won't climb the hill to deliver the letters.
Well, look, Bill, what do you do for amusement up there?
Oh, amusement. Oh, yes. We hunt, Don.
What kind of game do you hunt?
Oh, hunting we will go, hunting we will go.
Bill,
I have voice again.
Bill, what kind of game do you hunt?
Mr. Leader. Oh, everything, Don. Everything from the laughing hyena to the ferocious pronghorn aardvark, indigenous to the Himalayas, the high Andes and Belair. Places full of wild game, Don.
Any snakes?
Snakes galore. We have a plethora of snakes, Don, to say nothing of a paucity. Being male and female. Oh, it's beautiful to sit on the porch on Sunday and watch the little children across the street rolling their hooked snakes up and down the hill. Wonderful. Dr. Smun's children, Don.
Dr. Smun?
Dr. Gitwa B. Smun. Fine old gentleman, Don. Surgeon who really loves his work. Makes a hobby of it. He is in his gayest mood whilst carving off the patient's leg. Maybe you've seen him in Bonneville, Don. Used to saw a woman in half.
Yeah, but look, what about the animals, Bill?
Oh, yeah, the woods are surfeited with wild animals of every kind. My dear neighbor in the rear, Mr. Cuppy, used to be a bear on Wall Street. His son, Mr. T. Shrewsbury Cuppy Jr., is a cub reporter. A skunk ran across the lawn the other day.
A skunk? Did you shoot him, Bill?
Well, I was in my reading room, shaving. I didn't ever come near me. Okay. I didn't ever come near me, Don. The skunk ran across. I picked up a bottle of perfume and hurled it at the skunk's head.
Did you hit the skunk, Bill?
I thought I did, but I must have missed him by a mile.
Any other game hunting up there, Bill?
Oh, yes. They hunt ground mole, groundhogs. That makes fine hams, Don. Ever taste groundhog ham?
But, Bill, hunting groundhogs, the groundhog only comes out once a year.
I found that out. I got rheumatism lying around in ambush for 11 months. Why didn't you take a pot shot at one of the little nippers? But eagle hunting, Don, there's real sport. I shot a rare eagle the other day.
Yeah, well, what's a rare eagle, Mr. Fields?
2 under par, my diminutive little child.
How do you shoot eagles, Mr.
Fields?
Shoot
them on horseback, Charles. Pardon me for cutting you off.
Do eagles ride horseback, Mr. Fields?
Yes, eagles, elks, and odd fellows. I live it up.
Bill, do you do any horseback riding out there?
I was practically born on a horse, Don. My mother was an equestrian with a circus. And I've had the same horse for 20 years, old Giddyup.
Giddyup?
Yes, Greek name. Yes, you wouldn't understand it, Charles, an expression we equestrians use when we wish the horse to start.
Well, after 20 years, there must be a great deal between you and the horse, Bill.
Usually about a foot and a half, Don. Sometimes more.
Mr. Fields, when you go riding, do you ever catch a brass ring?
What's that?
I said, you ever catch a brass ring when you go riding?
Oh, sensational, Charles.
Yes.
Very good. He's a cute little fellow, isn't he, Don?
I think so. I still think so.
You admit to it, eh? Yes. Charles, I've seen better heads on umbrellas than you. That boy could wear a pencil sharpener for a hat.
Now,
wait a minute, Bill. Dorothy Lamour has a word to say to you. Oh, Dorothy.
Hello, Bill. I just wanted to tell you what a grand time I had at your place the other day.
Oh.
Those dogs of yours are really wonderful.
Oh, yes, they're getting much better, dear, since I've been wearing the house slippers.
No, I mean that bloodhound of yours.
Oh, yes, he isn't a bloodhound anymore, dear. Since you saw him last, he's developed pernicious anemia.
I like the brown dog, too. He seemed to be a very good watchdog.
Oh, he's a wonderful dog, dear. Yes, sir, he goes outside and sees if anybody's there. He returns and scratches the door.
What is he?
Very painful.
Huh? What is he, a police dog?
No more. Just a little stool pigeon. So you like my dogs, eh?
All except your Dachshund.
Oh, Dachshund. Very nice little dog. 3 dogs long and a half a dog high. Why do you like him, Dorothy?
He bit me.
What, he bit you? My man Lush probably forgot to feed him. So he bit you, eh?
Yes. I was standing with my back to your gate, admiring the beautiful hills, when I stooped over to pick up my handkerchief.
Oh, why don't you call me, dear? I would have picked it up for you. Remember, Dorothy, the days of chivalry are not over.
Well, when I was stooping over with my back turned, your little Dashun came running out and sank his teeth into my limb just below the calf.
Why, you're stooping over picking up your handkerchief, dear?
Yes, Bill.
A coward. But you were rather fortunate, dear. It wasn't my Newfoundland dog that bit you.
Well, now everyone knows the inside facts about Bill Fields and his hunting lodge. But not everyone knows the inside facts about coffee. And even some of the people who are familiar with this information have never really taken the time to consider it carefully. So I know the next minute or two of our program can be of real interest and value to you.
This summer, you've probably noticed that vegetables like corn on the cob and green peas taste much better when they're fresh. That's because they're perishable foods. So please remember this. Coffee is a perishable food, too. Even the poorest blend tastes better when it's fresh. And a rich, balanced blend, freshly roasted, gives you really matchless coffee flavor. That's why Chase and Sanborn dated coffee is so popular. For it gives you finer coffee, fresh from roasting, rushed to grocers by a fleet of 3,500 fast automobiles. The same cars that bring these stores their Fleischmann's Fresh Yeast. A fresh food delivery system that has no equal anywhere in the world. From the Chase and Sanborn roasting oven nearest you, an oven that's always warm and fragrant with the aroma of fine coffee, these cars rush Chase and Sanborn dated coffee to your grocer. Every pound is clearly marked with the date of delivery. You're guaranteed that it's freshly roasted. What's more, with freshness assured in this way, costly containers are not needed. So we pack this freshly roasted coffee in an economical dated bag and use the saving to give you richer, higher quality coffee at a price that's amazingly low for such a superb blend. Try Chase and Sanborn dated coffee, either hot or iced. Buy a pound from your grocer tomorrow.
Beautiful and passionate love songs ever written. The aria from Massenet's Herodiade, in which King Herod tells of the fleeting vision of loveliness which haunts him night and day. Nelsonetti singing Vision Fugitive.
Se propage pour me donner un tel rêve, je pourrais voir, contempler sa beauté, divine volupté à mes regards promise, espérance trop brève qui vient bercer mon cœur. N'enfuis pas, douce Vision, visitive, cette Milton appeal. Oppressé dans mes bras, sentir par mon cœur une amoureux ardent. Mourir enlacé dans une même ivresse, dans une même ivresse. Oh, c'est un feu, oh, cette flamme. Je donnerai mon âme pour toi, mon amour, mon espoir, vision fugitive, c'est toi.
Nelson, you know the old proverb, one good turn deserves an encore.
Oh, Don, of all people to be quoting proverbs, I know some, too.
Oh, hello, Alice. You know some of what?
Proverbs, you know, like, well, people who live in glass houses.
Yeah?
Well, they don't have much privacy, do they? Isn't it fun? I know another one, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, Alice, you see, Nelson Eddy is ready to sing another song.
Oh, of course, Mr. Eddy. May I compliment you on your marvelous voice?
You may. Thank you, Miss Brady.
Oh, not at all. Why don't you just call me Alice? Much more chummy, I think. Don't you like to be chummy?
Of course I do, Alice. And you can call me Nelson.
Yeah, and you can call me when this thing's over.
Hello, Charlie. I want you to meet Alice Brady. Miss Brady, this is Charlie McCarthy.
I don't want to meet her. She's a killer.
How do you do? I've been looking for you.
Yeah. Why pick on me? Jake Bergen.
No.
Oh,
no. I've been wanting to meet you.
In a dark alley, huh? Stick around, fellas. This spot I'm standing on may be marked by an X.
Yes.
Charlie, do you find me hard to approach?
It's not the approach I'm worrying about. It's the getaway.
Mark McCarthy, always joking. I hope.
Yeah. Charlie's a great kidder. Well, I'll be getting into my song.
Oh, your song? Oh, yes, of course. I have such a bad memory. You know, Nelson, I think your voice is just too, too, too.
Yes?
Well, it has just too, too, too. You know what I mean.
We know what you mean. Do you know what you mean?
Oh, Marsh McCarthy, isn't he cute? Or is he? Now, Nelson, I'm just dying to know what your next number will be.
Aren't we all?
I know how tense a singer is before he's ready to sing. You know, I sing.
Uh-oh. I knew no good would come of this note.
Really, Nelson, my instructor was grand. He had so much patience. You know, it must be very trying on an instructor when a pupil is just beginning.
Yes, those primary steps are quite boring. I suppose he began by teaching you to breathe.
It's silly, Nelson. I always knew how to breathe. You know, that divine man spent an entire afternoon with me while I ran up and down one scale. I just never seemed to could get it right.
Were you a little flat?
Oh, that didn't make any difference. I always played in advance.
Well, are you what one might call a finished singer?
Oh, well, that's what people say, but you can't discourage me. In fact, just the other day, I gave a recital, and I invited a lot of people to prove how well I sang.
And they heard you sing?
No. It was a terrible mistake of serving refreshments first.
Oh, that is too bad.
Well, but it doesn't discourage me, Nelson. And I've just been thinking, wouldn't it be nice for us to sing a duet sometime? Maybe now.
Yes, it would be nice sometime.
Well, maybe now.
Well, tell me, Alice, can you say this? Richard de Laura, Laura, Laddie, de Titta, de Laura, Laura Lee.
Ooh, there you go again. Always want to play games. Just a boy at heart.
That's not a game, Alice. Those are the words in my next song, and if you really want to make it a duet, you'll have to say "Retitit Laura Laura Latity Titit Laura Laura Lee."
Well, I think you just better make it a solo, and I'll listen.
Okay, Alice, and we'll all be listening while Nelson Eddy sings "The Cork Leg."
I'll tell you a story that is no sham. In Holland lived a merchant man, and every morning he said, I am the richest merchant in Amsterdam. Ritty-ditty-lora-lora-laddy-ditty-ditty-lora-lora-lee. One day he sat as full as an egg when a poor relation came in to beg, and knocking him down with a brogue and a keg and kicking him out, he broke his leg. Ritty-ditty-lora-lora-laddy-ditty-ditty-lora-lora-lee. Standing one-legged like a stork, he started to brag with a lot of talk. He said, upon crutches I never will walk, for I'll have a beautiful leg of cork. A doctor came on his vocation, and over it made a long oration. And after making a thorough examination, he finished it off with an amputation. When the leg was on and finished right, they buckled it up and screwed it tight. But still he went with a bit of a hop. When he found the leg, it wouldn't stop. Ritty-ditty-lora-lora-laddy-ditty-ditty-lora-lora-lee. Oh, hedges and ditches and score and plain, to rest his weary limbs he'd fain. He threw himself down, but all in vain. The leg got up and away again. Ritty-ditty-lora-lora-laddy-ditty-ditty-lora-lora-lee. He called to them that were in sight, stop me, for I'm wounded quite. Although their aid he did invite, in less than a minute he was out of sight. Ritty-ditty-lora-lora-laddy-ditty-ditty-lora-lora-lee. And he kept running from place to place. The people thought he was running a race. He clung to a post for to stop the pace, but the leg had still kept up the chase. Ritty-ditty-lora-lora-laddy-ditty-ditty-lora-lora-lee. Over hedges and ditches and plain and sore, and Europe is traveled o'er. Although he's dead and is no more, the leg goes on as it did before. Ritty-ditty-lora-lora-laddy-ditty-ditty-lora-lora-laddy-ditty-ditty-lora-lora-laddy-ditty-ditty-lora-lora-lee.
Time for au revoir comes all too soon, but I'm saying it now for our dramatic guest, Miss Alice Brady, and for our regular company, Nelson Eddy, W.C. Fields, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, and Robert Armbruster. And may I say to those of you who have listened to this broadcast that this hour with you is made possible by your purchases of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. Such purchases are the finest way of telling us that you enjoy our show. Next week, we shall have as our special guest, Glenda Farrell. And we'll all be looking forward to meeting you again. So until next Sunday at the same time, this is yours sincerely, Don Amici, saying au revoir. On this program, we're a big show from head over heels, and it's the natural thing to do from Double or Nothing, and what a beautiful beginning from Sing and Be Happy. Carlton Cadell speaking for Chase and Sanborn.
This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.